What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Badlands News Brief. Today is May 20th. It's a Monday. Patrick is having a nice day off this morning. And so you guys are stuck with me. So before we get into all the goodness of the news, let me say what's up to Eden, Eden's refuge was here early and she's cleaning her house. So I hope you enjoy the cleaning process, as Garbear said. Good morning to both of you. CS to Randy. KJ Fuerst? Is that how you say that? Let me know in the chat if I said that wrong or correctly. But it's good to see you as well. Twisted01, Whiskey Girl, Fat Chance, Silent Whisper. Good to see all of you guys. Good morning. The Bunny. Say hi to the hummingbirds for me. B. Todell. Good to see you. M. Kathy Lee. Excuse me. Christy G. It's good to see you. Joe 04 and Rosie 0254. Good to see you. Let's see. Camo Hat Guy. It's good to see you. J. Drish 76. Met Beds. Good morning. Grace and Grit. Always good to see you. Dina. So good to see you. Judy French and Cheryl. And Denise, and One Ohio Gal Now, Rose Thistle Art, all you guys, I'm really happy to see you this morning, old guy. We love Lake George. Good to see all of you. There was quite a bit of news over the weekend, and we're going to get into all of it. But first, it's almost Father's Day, and as we know, we should spoil the guys with the stuff they really like. Let's hear from Manly Cans.
What is that?
This is a smoking hot Manly Can. We got the Crawdad's Classic Three Pepper Gourmet Hot Sauce, the Sweet and Spicy Pickles, oh yeah, the Ghost Pepper Peanuts. Go ahead, have a handful.
Ghosts aren't even real, dude.
Yeah, I love these cans. Kids got it for me for Father's Day.
Yeah, I'm just gonna use your bathroom real quick.
Yeah,
bathroom
dude.
Stuff, you know.
Dude, you all right?
Yeah, man. I'm great, man. Get another beer.
All right. That was fun. Ghost Pepper Peanuts. It's sounds intense. And the milk thing was legit. If you're ever dealing with a massive pepper situation, drink some milk. Helps. All right, but badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans. Get the guys something they actually want. And we definitely love the Manly Can. It's good stuff. All right. Let's get into the Badlands News Brief, brought to you Monday through Friday on badlands.substack.com. Burning Bright puts this out, and a few of us contribute pretty regularly, and we get to, you know, kind of get what's the regular news plus what's the Badlander take, and that's what we do on this show every Monday through Friday. Usually it's Patrick with me for folks that are new, and we don't always get to the takes because we talk too much, but this is Iranian crashes, Israeli maneuvers, and Trumpian rhetoric. And do me a favor, guys, as we're getting started here, please make sure that you hit that thumb because it helps us out an incredible amount here on Badlands. We usually make it on to the leaderboard with the show, the brief, but we're in like the 30s. So the way that we can drive that up and we can climb the leaderboard is if you guys smash that thumb for us. So please do that. Iranian president Raisi is confirmed dead after helicopter crash, state agencies say. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi was killed along with the country's foreign minister in a helicopter crash on Sunday in the country's remote northwest, state news media has confirmed. The loss of Raisi, a conservative hardliner and protege of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, is expected to sow further uncertainty in a country already buckling under significant economic and political strain, with tensions with nearby Israel at a dangerous high. Drone footage of the helicopter wreckage taken by the Red Crescent and carried on state media Fars News Agency showed the crash site on a steep wooded hillside with little remaining of the helicopter beyond a blue and white tail. Sunday's crash occurred as Raisi, 63, and Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, nailed it, were returning from a ceremony for an opening of a dam on Iran's border with Azerbaijan, state media reported. Among those on board were three crew members, the governor of eastern Azerbaijan province, an imam, Raisi's head security chief, and a bodyguard, according to IRGC-run media outlet SEPA, CNN. And Denise Ann, too, in the chat, thank you so much for the Rumble rant. Good morning, Ash. Great game on Friday. Your Avs had me on the edge of my seat and my heart racing. I'm so proud of my stars. You guys were worthy opponents. Yeah, congratulations, Denise. Apparently, it turns out that the only I don't know who won the series of your opponents in the next round, but they're all Canadian. So, you know, when it's a U.S. team versus a Canadian team, you have to root for the U.S. team. So I'll be rooting for the Dallas Stars, ironically, in the next round. Our take. As I write this take, I think this is Ghost. It's Ghost. As I write this take, conflicting reports have been coming in all day. First, they say that Raisi has been rescued and is fine. Then they say that he is at the hospital in critical condition. Then they say that his condition is unknown. Then it's disclosed that the crash site hasn't been found. Then there are a number of videos from both UAV drones and guys on foot trekking through the wilderness showing purported crash sites that turned out to be bad intel. Now we have video and picture images of the purported helicopter crash site, and it looks bad. There are reports that there were no survivors, and given the images that I've seen taken from the air showing a pile of debris with a helicopter tail sticking out, that is not hard to believe. Editor's note, obviously reports came in overnight allegedly confirming Raisi's death. Ghost commentary still felt pertinent to include here. That's burning bright, by the way. This is a developing story, so you can expect more takes in the immediate future. If President Ibrahim Raisi is actually dead, then that really changes the political landscape in Iran, as Raisi is expected to become the next supreme leader, with current Ayatollah effectively in hospice care right now. But Raisi wasn't always the odds-on favorite. His predecessor, former President Hassan Rouhani, was once the odds-on favorite to be selected supreme leader by the Assembly of Experts, until he was officially disqualified by Iranian courts from consideration just this past January. There are some really interesting posts about Rouhani by that one infamous Anon, which became even more interesting through the lens of this new development. More to come on that in the future. Ghost of based Patrick Henry. Yeah, I don't have any, unique perspective on this helicopter crash. Just found out about it with the rest of us. So Biden declines further debates with Trump. This one I do know about. The Biden campaign has rejected two proposals for debates with Donald Trump, as well as a vice presidential debate, leading to accusations that they are afraid to let their candidates participate. Who's they? In addition to two debates scheduled for June and September with CNN and ABC, which Biden has also agreed to, Trump has accepted proposals from Fox News as well as NBC and Telemundo. Quote, I have accepted a fourth presidential debate against crooked Joe Biden, this time with NBC and Telemundo, Trump announced on Truth Social following a previous announcement accepting the Fox debate. This is all in addition to our accepting an invitation from Bette Baier and Martha Kallam of Fox News to host the vice presidential debate at Virginia State University or another venue in Virginia to be named later, Trump continued. These are the debates that voters have been asking for, and these are the debates that voters will get, Trump emphasized. In a separate post, Trump wrote, "On behalf of the future Vice President of the United States, who I have not yet chosen, we hereby accept the Fox Vice Presidential debate, hopefully at Virginia State University, the first historically Black college or university to host a debate, date to be determined. I urge Vice President Kamala Harris to agree to this, make America great again." The Biden campaign, which has decreed strict conditions for two debates only, stated President Biden has explicitly set his conditions for two one-on-one debates, which Donald Trump has agreed to. Modernity News. It is unacceptable to me that one candidate is setting all of these terms. Why do we have a commission on presidential debates? The takeaway, obviously, is that Biden is incapable of true democratic debate. Whatever is happening with the 2024 presidential debates, it's not true democratic debate. That much is undeniable. After his hilarious challenge video, in which the editors required at least five takes, it was revealed that Biden demanded very undemocratic debate conditions. No audience, a mute button, a handpicked moderator team. That the Commission on Presidential Debates agreed to such nonsense proves that we are living in a different America than we all believed possible. How is one candidate setting all the terms? We know how. The commission, not the candidates, are supposed to set the terms. This uniparty manipulation is so transparent that only the intellectually dishonest can ignore it at this point. Awakening, accelerate. And I wrote that one, obviously. All right, see what you guys are saying. Medbed says, Biden, I will take that drug test. Line them up. I'll bring in Hunter and give every substance a Yelp rating. Pretty much. I think they should have to take a drug test before the debates, especially when they're like 100 years old. It's very silly. I just can't get over the fact that Biden is like, no, he already set his terms. He's only doing two debates with no audience, a mute button, and he gets to pick the moderators. What? That's not very democratic. And oh, by the way, why is Biden saying no to Telemundo? That feels xenophobic.
It's because he hates Mexicans.
Hi.
Hi. How are
Hang on, I have to fix my sound now because I wasn't expecting you.
Teehee.
I love that you're here.
I knew that I was going to have to miss the beginning of the show. I didn't know how much of it I was going to have to miss. But if possible, I don't like to miss this amazing show with this amazing audience. If Ash and Patrick were the moderators, the show would be instantly demonetized and taken off the air.
See, I was just about to accept on our behalf when you came in.
What a world. Have you checked out the price of silver yet?
No. You were very excited about it being at 30. What's it at now?
I don't think the market has, it's like 31 and a half or something. But it briefly popped up to like 36 on the Asian markets. If there is a silver squeeze going on, and we don't know for a fact that there is, but if there is a silver squeeze going on, that means that we have a worldwide economic realignment in order going on.
Yeah.
The concept of silver being wildly undervalued is something that hasn't been proven out yet, but it is a widely held theory among patriots that the powers that should not be have taken every ounce of silver in the world and sold it to like 30 different suckers. And it's paper silver. So those of us in this community who are holding physical silver, when supply and demand properly re-equilibrate, then the price of silver could be going up 10x, 100x, 1000x, especially if that coincides with the already in progress devaluation of the Federal Reserve note, aka the US dollar. So,
yeah, that's fun exciting. Fact. It's 31, looks like 31.54 right now.
Yeah, that's what it was yesterday, essentially. So Iranian President Raisi confirmed dead after the CIA killed him.
We did that one. Okay. And I think we did the next one.
Biden declines further debates with Trump.
I think so.
Okay.
There we are. That's this NRA one is the next one.
All right. And this one is from The Daily Beast. Trump ends NRA speech with horror warning set to dramatic QAnon music. Donald Trump followed up his endorsement by the National Rifle Association on Saturday with a speech stoking fears of the government under Joe Biden coming for your guns and a bizarre monologue set to dramatic music resembling a song favored by QAnon. Addressing thousands of members of the NRA at their annual meeting in Texas, the former president stuck to his usual talking points, hailing the reversal of Roe v. Wade as an amazing thing, comparing himself to Al Capone, and insisting genius runs in his bloodline. Then, as he wound down in a disorienting shift, sentimental music began to play, and Trump furrowed his brow and shook his head to deliver the grim message that America is a failing nation. In a monologue set to melodramatic instrumental music, Trump described the current state of the country as if he were breaking the news to a small child that his mother had just died. Now we are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has had the highest inflation in 58 years, where banks are collapsing and interest rates are skyrocketing. The Daily Beast.
So we can all picture this in our minds, right? It's the end of Trump's speech that we've seen a bunch of times with the where we go one, we go all music and the we're a nation in decline. And then he brings it back up at the end. We will make America strong again. We will make America powerful again. We will make America great again. And the Daily Beast reporter, it sounds like he's super triggered by it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. QAnon music? What do they mean? What is it similar to? I don't get it.
So there's this one song that he plays at the end when it when he goes into the we are a failing nation, we are a nation in decline, we are a nation without borders, with all the things. He goes through all the problems, and then again he brings it back up at the end to make America great again. But there's a song that plays in the background. It's an instrumental tune. And if I'm not mistaken, the chat will know. But if I'm not mistaken, the song I think is called Where We Go One, We Go All.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or is it similar to the song Where We Maybe. Go One, We Go All? Because that's a big difference.
Yeah, I have no idea, but that's what they mean by QAnon music, I think.
That's pretty darn funny.
Yeah.
Rose Thistle Art says it is sad violins.
It is. It really is.
Wow. Okay. I'm all in favor of the Daily Beast telling everybody that Donald Trump is making references to QAnon, because Donald Trump is making references to QAnon. He has open, in my opinion, he's been open about endorsing QAnon. Okay. It's obviously not open, but it's cryptic in a way that's designed for 9-year-olds to be able to decrypt it. So not quite.
And open. Even the Daily Beast.
Even the freaking Daily Beast. You know, they named themselves after Satan. So there's that.
Yeah, I know. I think that's very telling. My favorite part of this is the beginning where they're like spreading fear about the government disarming you under the Biden administration. Hi, Colorado here. We had, I think, 13 major disarmament bills in the past legislative session. And when they couldn't get them all done, they started screaming out for federal intervention. So maybe sit down, Daily Satan, and, pay attention before you rebuke us all for calling legitimate balls and strikes.
Yeah. All that needs to happen for this war to be over is for people to say in response to the police power and the threats, no, we're not afraid of you anymore.
Yeah.
They can fake all the elections they like. If people start just simply organizing their own systems and telling the existing power systems that they are irrelevant because they're illegitimate due to fake elections, it's over.
So also a Colorado anecdote. There was some bill that was passed. The commies actually, I think, did something well. They have made it, they've decriminalized, I guess, driving with an expired registration and like other basic street crimes, like, traffic crimes. And all the conservatives are like, we're prioritizing. When you decriminalize crime, you prioritize criminals. What's going to happen when these people, you know, hit someone and they don't have insurance and they're not registered? The taxpayers are going to pay, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hang on a second, guys. They're actually like taking away government powers. Like, let's just pause.
Yeah.
Take a beat and appreciate this and make them stick to it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Every single time I am told by these governments that, my God, they're not going to have the power to stop criminals. I'm like, guys, I'll take my chances with the criminals.
Agreed. Because
those criminals are nothing compared to you.
Yeah. And we have like probably quite a bit of common ground with the mm-hmm. with the criminals. Certainly criminals that are driving with expired registration. I think car registration is an infringement upon freedom of movement. To say you can't use your car unless you buy our license to be able to drive that car you bought. That's
Yeah. There is a right to conduct oneself in a non-commercial carriage. The concept of driving is a commercial concept in common law. And that's why they call you a driver, because mm-hmm. there is the government right to tax commerce. But you have an unlimited right to transporting yourself in a vehicle. So there's a lot of freaking stealing your rights and selling them back to you as licenses shit going on.
Yeah. So even if they're commies, when they pass a law that decriminalizes their ability to do anything about you not playing along with that registration scheme, I think we should celebrate it.
All right. Should we play this thing and just give everybody a demonstration of what the hell they're talking about? All right, here we go.
Just remember this. We'll go back and finish. You know, there is a genius to what I'm doing. You do know that I go from here to there, and it all comes back into a beautiful picture. You know, it really, do you notice? It all comes back into a beautiful picture, a great memory. It's a beautiful thing. But remember what they're going to do.
What is he talking about? What was that thing, the squigglies?
I mean, I'm sure there's loads of ways to speculate about.
The master is inscrutable. Mm. For me, not for true autists. I'm just a big old poser. I'm not a real autist. I'm weird like an autist, but I don't have their powers.
You're an autism poser.
Yeah. All right. So how are we doing on our wonderful sponsors? Have you got them?
I did the Manly Cans one, so Ready Radio is next.
Badass. Can you do them today? Because I don't have them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I sure can. All right. Do you have a comms plan for a communication blackout? The cost and complexity of a ham radio is overwhelming. Ready Radio is your answer. Handheld ham radios, ready when you need them, programmed to your specific zip code, and shipped to your door by diehard Badlander and America First family in Montana. Ready Radios will keep you connected to loved ones in your community and beyond. Don't spend thousands of dollars or hours getting into ham radios. This isn't feasible if you just want a backup for communication for when the grid is down. Get Ready Radio for every member of your crew with no monthly fee ever. Head over to badlandsmedia.tv/ready and enter promo code Badlands to save 10% on your purchase. Note, an FCC license is required to transmit on ham frequencies, but there are exceptions in an emergency. ReadyRadio.coms. One more time, that's badlandsmedia.tv/ready, promo code Badlands.
My God, did you see how perfectly timed that ad was?
Yes.
And I love it. Got comms. And guys, the guy who puts this together spends hours and hours in Montana getting these radios, doing the proper tunings, just to the right geographical locations. It's very much worth it to have. I've got mine all set up right here. He was good enough to send them to me. All right. Oh, God. We have more Israel. I hate it. All right. From the Hill. Frustration with Netanyahu boils over on plans for Gaza after Hamas. Frustration is growing in Israel with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war against Hamas and his growing split with President Biden, raising fears that the public tensions could invite increased attacks from Iran and its proxies across the region. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, possibly Gallant, is the most senior official to call out his premier, demanding that Netanyahu decide on a day-after plan for the Gaza Strip after defeating Hamas. I call on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to make a decision and declare that Israel will not establish civilian control over the Gaza Strip, that Israel will not establish military governance in the Gaza Strip, and that a governing alternative for Hamas in the Gaza Strip will be raised immediately, Gallant said in rare blunt remarks while commemorating Israel's Memorial Day on Wednesday. It was the second time Gallant had issued such a direct challenge to Netanyahu, having warned in March 2023 that the prime minister's pursuit of widely controversial judicial reforms was threatening the security of the country. The division in the country at that time, some analysts say, fed into Hamas's calculation to launch its massive terrorist attack on October 7th. The Hill. Fun fact, they keep using the name Iran as a boogeyman. I don't believe him anymore. We never get to hear from Iran. Somehow they figure out how to make it so that all we ever see of Iran is a no audio having brief clip of whatever dude in a ceremonial turban and a beard has something to say over there. For all I know, that's an actor on a sound stage. They're giving us nothing. So it's the same thing as in 1984, when the people of London are constantly being worried about East Asia or being worried about, you know, near Asia or whatever bullshit country they say that we're currently at war with. They're full of shit. I don't believe them.
But the people are retarded.
Felt right.
It's brilliant. Just so well put. Yes.
The first story of the brief today was the Ayatollah's predecessor was apparently assassinated or died in a helicopter crash.
By the CIA or by Mossad, or he never existed.
It was an accident that was a totally organic event that happened. Why are you such a conspiracy theorist?
I mean, what? So here's the thing. Let's really talk about what conspiracy theory means. And it's amazing when you really distill it. Mm-hmm. It means theory, that what you see in the mainstream media is not true. That's what a conspiracy theory is. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's a theory that says, I think the government might not be telling us the truth.
How dare you?
Holy shit. I had this very brilliant, friend. Friends with him from elementary school through adulthood. Went to very good schools and is a very successful person in the legal profession in the current system. And I remember beginning to talk to him during the first few months of the Trump administration. Lifelong far-right conservative, but all of a sudden triggered as hell about Donald Trump. It was very strange. One day in a moment of candor, he said, I'm not about to just let him burn down the system that I've made so much money in.
Exactly that.
And it was a moment of candor, and he was clearly drunk. And another thing was, I said about the Las Vegas shooting. I said, you know, I think there might be a possibility. It wasn't just this guy, Stephen Paddock. And he says, I don't really give any credence to conspiracy theories. And I said, what's a conspiracy theory? Couldn't get an answer out of him. You know why? Because the only actual, real, intelligent answer to that question will sound too stupid to say out loud.
Well, right. And in particular, with the Vegas shooting, there was shooting happening all over the Strip. It could not have been Stephen Paddock by himself. There were like 911 calls, all of those things, which, you know, have been played. Like, it's, yeah.
911 calls can be faked. All these things can be faked.
I don't think that they were.
The only thing I've got from the Las Vegas shooting that I trust is G Money.
Because he was there.
Exactly. And there's no friggin' way that guy is a friggin' plant. No chance. So that's all I've got. So I really should have spent more time quizzing him about what happened that day, because I'll believe him. Now, I'll only believe him when he reports what he observed with his
firsthand experience.
Anything he heard, I don't care about. Like when I interview somebody from Melbourne, Australia, right, during COVID, I have to like really just coach them into stop telling me what you saw in the local news. I'm not interested. I want to know what you saw with your own eyeballs. And when you force them to say that, they're like, oh, well, not much, actually.
It's a really great point. And it's something that in, you know, preparing for trial and everything has really solidified in my head. There are so many situations that, you know, you think you know about, but when you break it down and realize that everything that you know about that situation is hearsay, even when it's people that you really trust, right? Somebody like G Money saying, well, I heard that, you know, people over at the Aria were, you know, being shot at. Well, you didn't see that. You didn't know. You heard that from other people on the ground there. So that's not actually a fact. It's an assertion. And when you break down stories that, especially stories that are very, you know, emotional and intimately painful and involve people that you love, and you realize all I know about this situation is hearsay, it is easier to hold the position of I'm not going to allow my emotions to be twirled up into a frenzy and go to bat for whatever this situation is. Vegas, Israel, Palestine, Taiwan, Ukraine, whatever it is. If all you know is hearsay and you have no personal knowledge and you don't even have like G Money telling you what he saw is a firsthand experience for G Money, it's still hearsay for you. Right.
And yeah, but I give him a lot of weight.
Fair. But in terms of breaking down the standards before you, and this is kind of a, you know, public service announcement, before you go all in emotional on a story and start screaming about bombing people in the name of Jesus or wiping certain populations off the planet, I really think you should make sure that, you know, you're not reacting to just somebody's stories.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's try the next story. And there's probably going to be a lot more of this entire epistemology involved. And going back to this Israel shit, oh my God, look at this take.
So it's got to be a ghost.
What in the name of Jesus? Oh my God. All right, bye. All right, next.
All right. Poor ghost.
Stop it. All right.
Just a little verbose.
Next story from Axios. Senate votes to kill SEC crypto accounting rule. Notice it doesn't say law because SEC can't make law. Ha ha ha. A resolution condemning a rule on how to account for cryptocurrency assets has been passed by both houses of the U.S. Congress, setting up a likely veto by the White House. Why it matters. The crypto industry began its fight against Chairman Gary Gensler's SEC in the courts, but has successfully extended it onto a new field, the legislature. The latest, in a 60-38 vote in the Senate, legislation striking down the Securities and Exchange Commission's staff accounting bulletin 121, which makes it very expensive for financial institutions to participate in the crypto custody business, has passed. This follows passage by the House. The White House has indicated it would veto any such legislation, and they don't have 2/3. The big picture, the SEC had been feeling more confident after a procedural win on most points in its case against Coinbase, the country's largest cryptocurrency exchange, and on key points in the case against Terraform Labs. I don't know anything about that. However, that follows a string of major losses, such as on the characterization of the cryptocurrency XRP as a security, which Judge Torres said, no, it's not. And it's not. And even if it were, I don't care what the SEC thinks about it. And an approval of a spot Bitcoin ETF, exchange traded fund. Today, the full Congress finalized a rebuke of the agency's creation of the rule commonly known as SAB 121. In response to a request for a comment on the vote, SEC staff sent Axios a description of SAB 121 without commenting on the legislative action. Axios, you have anything to say about this one?
Only that they have been so this Congress, the 118th Congress, has passed a lot of changes to SEC regulations during this session. They don't get a lot of scrutiny. They don't not a lot of people, certainly in our circles, talk about them. And I'm not an expert in SEC rules and regulations. I used to have to test on them every year, and I always passed, but that was, you know, years and years ago. And I can't look at a piece of, you know, legislation where they're modifying some obscure aspect of the Securities and Exchange Commission's regulatory framework and know, oh yeah, this is totally what's going to happen. You know, this is totally being done in response to XRP or Bitcoin or whatever. But I wish someone would, because it was surprising to me how many changes to SEC rules and regulations, a lot of which were having to do addressing, accommodating the cryptocurrency world. And so I think that there's a lot of changes happening in that realm. And, you know, I think G Money and probably you would say that's, you know, all illegitimate frameworks and construct. And I think that's true.
Well, G Money has a weird take on the SEC because he's constantly rooting for the SEC to take out all of Bitcoin's enemies, which I think is a rather terrifying, dubious thing for a patriot to want to do. But hey, what do you know? We don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah. So I think this is one of the most interesting things that's going on in terms of the government making changes to accommodate this potentially very dystopian future that we're all heading into. And again, like I'm not the expert that can look at these down into the weeds of the SEC regulations and understand exactly what they're doing and what kind of changes that they're making. But I wish someone would.
Yeah, absolutely. My take on this is, I think there's a fog of war aspect going on here. So we have the SEC trying to make it so that traditional financial institutions can't jump with both feet into the Bitcoin ecosystem. And the Senate is saying, bite me, yes, they can. I don't know which of those two alternatives is better. Isn't that funny? I'm not sure.
True binary?
Or is it a true binary? Yeah. I don't think there's any way to stop the banksters from trying to co-opt Bitcoin. There is definitely a possibility that they could co-opt Bitcoin, because literally any commodity can have the market cornered. It's possible.
Yeah.
However, in my opinion, in a heterogeneous cryptocurrency environment with many cryptocurrencies, the banksters could never do that. So I favor a heterogeneous environment with multiple cryptocurrencies taking the lion's share of the world's financial activity. And that's where Bitcoin maximalists and I typically begin to lock horns in a bitter struggle for supremacy.
Yeah, what concerns me is whales. Right. And governments, essentially bankers, can be whales when it comes to, and you know, all of the promises of Bitcoin, well, not all of, a lot of the promises of Bitcoin and what make it, so attractive as an alternate currency also, I think, put it at risk for undue influence by people that, like, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or El Salvador or JP Morgan Chase, right? That they have the ability to buy up so much of it that even though it's a decentralized network of nodes, they can own so much of it so as to, you know, make decisions.
Yeah. That is whale manipulation of a commodity.
Right.
The amazing thing about the concept of a blockchain is you can spin up a new blockchain at the drop of a hat. You can essentially conjure a new medium of exchange on a laptop. And I think it makes it a lot harder for whales and oligarchs to control those things. Yeah. But it's got to happen in its own way. And We could talk for 2 hours on this topic.
Probably, it's yeah.
Very, very involved. All right, next. Times of Israel responding to Gallant. Netanyahu says he won't replace Hamastan with Fatahstan in Gaza. Not the first time he said that either. Responding to Defense Minister Yoav Gallant's declaration that he would, quote, not allow Israeli civil or military governance of Gaza after Hamas, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declares that he is, quote, not ready to replace Hamastan with Fatahstan. Fatah is Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas's party. Quote, after the terrible massacre on October 7th, I order the destruction of Hamas, Netanyahu states in a video response to Gallant's televised address. As long as Hamas remains intact, no other party will step in to manage civilian affairs in Gaza, certainly not the Palestinian Authority. 80% of the Palestinians in Judea and Samaria support the terrible massacre on October 7th, Netanyahu said, referring to the West Bank. I am not prepared to switch from Hamastan to Fatahstan, he says, referencing the Fatah-dominated PA, Palestinian Authority. The data cited by Netanyahu appears to come from a December poll by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research, which showed that 82% of West Bank Palestinians supported the events of October 7th. A second poll released by the same organization in March showed that the number had dropped to 71%. Quote, the Palestinian Authority supports terror, educates for terror, funds terror, and so the first condition for preparing the ground for another party is to eliminate Hamas and to do so without excuses, Netanyahu adds. Times of Israel. How long is this?
Ani lo mukhan lahlif et Hamastan.
All right, he's doing.
There's no subtitles.
There are subtitles, but it's just a repeat of what he already said. So we'd just be listening to it in Hebrew. I don't know what else to say about this. I don't believe the polls. I don't believe that October 7th was a real terrorist attack. I think they faked it. I think Israel faked it. And this whole entire part of the world can collectively bite me. Anything to add?
I don't believe polls, but I do think they're interesting. I don't believe polls as true reflections of the will of the people, the positions of the people, but I do think that they are interesting data points for where the government wants us to believe the will of the people is going. So I do consume polls because I think that they play a role.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And in terms of, so I don't believe that October 7th was faked by the Israeli government, but I do believe that there are very real questions about how it was allowed to happen. I do have people that have firsthand experience. So for me, it's hearsay, but they were there. And, you know, their stories are compelling.
They were at the rave that got attacked by the paragliding go-karts?
No, but they were... They have firsthand experience of this.
Of what particularly?
Of October 7th.
Okay.
And so, I think we run the risk of, you know, throwing out. So I will never support governments, you know, going back and forth in such a way. So we're told constantly, you can't draw false equivalency between Israel and Palestine because Palestine is run by Hamas. I don't believe that there's a whole bunch of difference between a terrorist run government in a, you know, kind of backwoods ground way, like we were told the Taliban is, versus governments with the most sophisticated capabilities in the world that can't seem to prevent paragliding go-karts, right? Yeah. I think these are the government aspects of this I find highly suspect, but I think there's a risk of then by extension picking which people group. Does that make sense? Like, because the government of Israel allowed this to happen, or, you know, and you're telling, you know, made it happen, whatever. Because of that, there's a very strong push in our society right now to condemn all Jews. And I will not go there. And that's what I think that, you know, I think a lot of us are struggling with as we try to navigate what's happening from a geopolitical standpoint versus the overt emotional operation that's being run on us to pick a side.
Oh, essential. I'm not picking a side. They both suck. So, you know, a pox of both their houses.
Yeah.
I'm watching two different factions, not even factions. I'm watching two different casting departments of the same intelligence agency telling me which particular people I should hate.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a true humanitarian.
I hate all of you.
I fucking hate you all. All right, so that's my That's my my basic stance.
Right. It's liberty. Next. There's liberty in that.
There really is. Oh, boy. Speaking of people I hate. Bill Maher scolds pearl-clutching lefties over Harrison Butker tradwife speech. 90s Democrat Bill Maher has come to the defense of Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker over a recent graduation speech in which he said that one of the most important jobs a woman can have is being a homemaker.
Hang on a second. What is a 90s Democrat? Is this something new that's being forced on us?
Yeah, it is. It's fucking bullshit. Guys, I'm sorry about the cursing, but this is a freaking disgusting tactic they're about to use. So 90s Democrat is their way of saying, he's a moderate. He's a moderate like Bill Clinton. Wasn't it great when Bill Clinton was president? And it's just retarded.
Back when it was okay to rape your interns, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. That's still completely not frowned upon in Washington, D.C. Anyway, let's
They do apparently have orgies, so fair.
Exactly. Orgies where they rape their interns. All right, so how many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I thought I was reading Bill Maher, sorry. But I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world, Butker told graduates at Benedictine College last weekend. Butker's speech resulted in a collective gasp from the left, which has spent decades programming young women to believe that becoming a housewife is tantamount to failure and that a real woman become titans of industry, delegating the raising of children to others or hitting peak girl boss and simply not reproducing and definitely not grappling with deep regret as their eggs expire. Oh, whoever wrote this.
It's so good.
Wow. Why are you calling him 90s Democrat? All right. Anyway. Well put. And so, coming to Butker's defense is real-time host Bill Maher, who says he doesn't see what the big crime is. During a Friday night panel discussion, Maher mocked Butker's critics for trying to make him out to be history's greatest monster. I can't express how much this guy is not like me, said Maher. He's religious, he loves marriage, he loves kids, and he's now history's greatest monster. Zero hedge. All right, we watched that. I mean, yeah. We quoted it.
I think we've all seen it.
Miss Girl Boss here. And we're running out of time.
Yeah, we should probably keep going.
Sponsors.
We just have Epic left.
Beautiful. Let's talk about Epic Minerals right quick. So one of the things we do know, Ash, something is coming and it's going to be very, very big and it's going to be designed to stop the next election from going the wrong way. It might even be designed to prevent the next election from happening. And what do they typically do? Well, look at what they did in 2020. They shut the whole damn world down. One thing I do remember is that getting sick in 2020 was a life-threatening proposition. I had to pull some strings to get my mother the medical attention she needed when she got a respiratory infection. She couldn't just go get a doctor to give her an antibiotic because they would demand she go to a testing center and test for COVID, and they wouldn't give her a single medicine until she agreed to do that. I had to go around the doctors to get her the treatment she needed, and she was better in 12 hours. If we had had Zeolite Extra spray then as a detoxification mechanism, we could have prevented infections in the first place. Guys, go to epicminerals.net. Get the Zeolite Extra spray from Epic Minerals. Use promo code BADLANDS for 10% off. And if you get both the Epic Minerals Zeolite spray and the detoxifying Epic Minerals Wellness Extra capsules, which you take as a supplement to get these things, put these things together, the detoxification is overwhelming. You get 25% off additionally. So we are doing a big sale on this stuff, guys. Epicminerals.net. During the next giant PSYOP, these products right here may very well save your life. Epicminerals.net. I'm so glad I have this stuff.
So do you remember when Rachel Maddow said, when you get the vaccine, the virus just stops? It can't come any further. It just stops. Well, when you use zeolite, the toxins, they can't come at you. They just stop.
Yeah. Heavy metals, toxic plastics, things that your kidneys are constantly processing. The first thing that happens is it takes those things and it puts them in a state where they can get runny and get out of your body. They bind to it and it goes through your detoxification system and you pee it out. This stuff is fantastic considering how unbelievably toxic our world is. It is, yes. It is as toxic as a single mother in San Francisco.
And I would just like, I would just like to say that me quoting Rachel Maddow was not medical advice.
No, definitely not. All right. So let's move to the next.
Yeah. I wrote the take on this story about Harrison Butker. I'm just going to say he's right. That's why they're pissed. They're pissed because he's right. Obviously.
Yeah. It is a nasty thing that they tricked women into thinking going and working in a cubicle to make some other schmuck rich instead of caring for your own family.
Yeah. There is a quote from Chesterton in my take that you might want to read. It's from What's Wrong with the World in the essay entitled Feminism or the Mistake About Women.
How can it be a large career to tell other people's children about the rule of three and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe?
It's an excellent book, and that chapter is an excellent chapter in that book.
Meanwhile, do not talk to me about the poor chain makers. They are engaged in a very widespread and flourishing industry of the present age. They are making chains. We got to get through these. Thank you so much for that take, by the way, Ash. We got to get through this bonus item, but I have an announcement for the end of the show, so make sure to stick around all the way to the end. White House reacts to ultra-rare Putin-Xi hug during visit highlighting closer military ties. The Biden administration has reacted to what might be called the hug heard round the world, or felt, perhaps. During the last day of Russian President Vladimir Putin's two-day visit to China, where he met with President Xi Jinping, the two shared an ultra-rare embrace in host city for the visit, Harbin. During the two leaders' final goodbye interaction, it was Xi who appeared to initiate the hug. One regional expert, Arnaud Bertrand, has commented, "It is indeed incredibly uncommon to hug in Chinese culture, especially for senior officials, which is why you can see Putin is taken aback at first." White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby weighed in later in the day Friday, saying somewhat sarcastically, "That's nice for them." Kirby went on to say that it is no surprise that Putin and Xi continue to try to develop this burgeoning relationship, but that it remains officials in both governments aren't necessarily all that trustful of each other, according to the remarks. What they have in common is a desire to challenge the international rules-based order, aka clown world, challenge the network of alliances and partnerships that the United States enjoys, clown world. Kirby followed with, he said the two were trying to look for ways to bolster each other's national security interests as well. Zero hedge. Next, Texas governor pardons Daniel Perry, veteran who shot armed BLM protester. Nice. All right, so I want to tell you guys something. Chris Paul and I are doing our first episode of our new show, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, right here on Badlands. It's entitled Hindsight 2020. And we will be going through the stories and the narratives that took place in that fateful year 2020. And let me tell you guys, you need to look back on it. A lot of us began to awaken during 2020 because of the lies, but we missed a lot. We really did. And a lot of it has faded from our memories. So we're going to be going back over everything that happened in 2020, all of the weird shit that went down, some of the stuff that we don't think about anymore, and it's going to shed amazing light on what we're about to go through. So leading up to the November 5th election of 2024, Chris Paul and I, every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, will be hosting Hindsight 2020 right here on Badlands Media.
Followed by Baseless Conspiracies, right?
By Baseless. So we will have a hard stop of 90 minutes. No going for 4 hours like some people do from time to time.
Brian. That's the show we have for you guys. Please make sure that you hit that thumbs up because it's very, very important to us here on Badlands. Tune in to this way, Patrick and Chris Paul tonight for Hindsight 2020, and tune in directly following this show to Badlands Daily, which is today, Brian CanCon and Ghost of Bass, Patrick Henry.
Outstanding, guys.
Thank sure, there's going to be lots of stuff about Iran and Israel and that region of the world because it's Ghost of Base Patrick Henry.
Yep. Oh. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.